God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us therefore confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Hear the Holy Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are all, I suspect, treasure seekers of one kind or another, always on that tree that grows up so the birds of the air make nests in its branches, and the great catch of fish, all relate to that aspect of our own nature that is constantly on the hunt. We look for this happiness in our relationships, in the things that we own as well, in what we buy, what we make, the job that we do, the hobbies that we have, perhaps even the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, friends and company we keep. And yet, in the midst of it all, that strange drive for something always better never seems to leave us. Even amongst the seemingly most contented of us, there seems always to be that little hint of drive somewhere hidden underneath the calm exterior that is restless and unsettled. It would be very tempting to say that this is simply part of human stupidity, that it's a base sense of greed. But I wonder if it isn't something far deeper, a sense of yearning for life to be better, more fair, more just, less difficult, and free of the entanglements of our errors. I think this is what these parables relate to. And Jesus is recognizing this human trait for what it really is. Jesus speaks of a kingdom of both old and new ideas. A kingdom we can know and see in the here and the now, yet also one which has its fulfillment in a future we cannot yet see or perhaps even conceive of. This kingdom Jesus speaks of is a simple enough concept. It is to know that we are children of God, imbued with the divine dignity and having an eternal destiny. And so the chief task of life is not in great worldly successes, but in knowing how to live well. Knowing God in faith and in proper relations with others. Having faith, of course, does not mean that we suddenly have all the answers to the most important of questions, or that life is somehow automatically much easier for us, or even more fulfilled. But perhaps that deep-seated and often relentless yearning and searching is a restlessness for God. Maybe deep within us as human beings, there is this endless, unquenchable thirst to be in union with God. And very often, we try to slake that thirst and enforce a contentedness with all the wrong things that may ease us in our restlessness for a season. But ultimately, it is only temporarily masking or even fueling that sense of emptiness. Perhaps then, rather than seeing this innate human restlessness and yearning as a negative drive, we can see it as a positive one. It can be the drive that searches for God, that searches for true meaning in life, for a better way to live, for justice, for equality and freedom, and a drive that recognizes something beyond our own existence in a perfection we can't know in this life. Faith, then, perhaps commits us to this life of restlessness, of endless yearning, of that hope of discovery. And when we do discover those little glimpses in this life of the majesty and the beauty of God's kingdom, it
grants us joy in a foretaste of what is yet to be, our hope in the fulfillment of God's eternal kingdom. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.
He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and we share his peace. Peace of the Lord be always with you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look to the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever. Lamb of